Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Have you heard of the nightclub House of Yes in Brooklyn? The club is notorious for out-there parties with themes, and the costumes are just about required, which makes for an anything-goes atmosphere. Well, the House of Yes is trying out a new poster series to tell their patrons to listen when they hear the word no. Harassment in New York City nightlife is a big problem. According to a YouGov poll conducted last year, 72% of people aged 18 to 24 have witnessed some form of sexual harassment during a night out. So Brooklyn Council member Rafael Espinal, who previously introduced bills to create the New York City Office of Nightlife and repeal the old restrictive cabaret laws that banned dancing in much of the city, has teamed up with House of Yes founders to address the issue with a new campaign and maybe even some legislation. So here with me now is House of Yes co-founder Anya Sapoznikova and also Jackie Rapkin, the bar's marketing director, and council member Rafael Espinal. Welcome to Anya and Jackie, and welcome back, council member, to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Anya, how big a problem is sexual harassment at the House of Yes in particular, and how much of it is about male patrons on female staff?
So I think that we are one of the sexiest clubs on purpose in New York. We encourage all sorts of freedom of expression, which means an expression of being wild and free, and that also does create an environment where sexual harassment is maybe a little bit more prominent. And as a club owner that promotes this kind of behavior, I feel like it is my responsibility, and it's all of our responsibility as club owners, to acknowledge that and then do something about it.
So Jackie, do you want to describe the poster series that you're rolling out?
Sure. So actually at House of Yes, we've had posters up for 2 years now that basically say, if you feel something, say something, tell the staff, we will help you. We teamed up with Rafael to make the posters, citywide, so folks can download them and print them up. And again, it's encouraging folks to tell someone if your consent has been violated, and it says consent is mandatory with the word sexy crossed out. If you feel something, please report it.
And you rolled out this new poster campaign, I believe, starting Halloween weekend, which is pretty big party night.
Yep. It's one of the biggest party nights across the city, so we really wanted to get these posters into people's hands.
And council member, simultaneously with this campaign, you're introducing legislation, I see, that would make displaying posters like these mandatory in nightclubs and music and event venues. Why do you think this is something the city needs legislation on?
Well, I think that we all aware that we are in the middle of this huge conversation around consent and sexual harassment, especially between males and females. So I thought it was important, looking at the model that House of Yes put forward, that other establishments across the city play the same role in raising awareness, one, to let potential perpetrators know that they're being watched, and two, that if you are a victim, that you have the power to say something and you should be able to speak up for yourself and advocate for yourself.
So listeners, do you work at a bar or nightclub perhaps? Anybody out there in the nightlife industry? I know we have listeners at this time of day because you're just waking up, wiping the work exhaustion, sleep from your eyes and getting ready to do it all again tonight. But anybody in the nightlife business, in any nightlife venue in the city, how big a problem is sexual harassment? How often do you see it happening? Has it happened to you as a worker? Do you see it mostly patron on patron? What, if anything, have you done to address it? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. And this obviously can be for customers as well, but definitely interested in the perspective of people who work in the nightlife industry. 212-433-9692. Help us report this story with Anya Sapoznikova and Jackie Rapkin from House of Yes and City Council member Rafael Espinal. So, Anya, in all seriousness, do you expect people who maybe are so intoxicated that they're about to harass someone or allow themselves to get into a dangerous situation to stop and read a poster?
Absolutely. I think in a loud, crazy, hectic environment, putting it on paper loud and clear is the only way to really drill it into their heads. And I think that it's not about, you know, just having a poster reminding people to act out, to report sexual harassment and remind them not to be a creeper. It's about oversaturating the whole nightlife industry with this messaging.
And Jackie, on the website of House of Yes, it says you are obsessed with consent. So what does it mean for a nightclub to be obsessed with consent beyond the poster?
Okay, so at House of Yes, the program that we've had been going for 2 years is as follows. We have a pretty clear consent policy. It's written on all of our event pages. If you try to buy a ticket to one of our events, you have to actually sign a waiver that indicates that you've read our policy, you acknowledge it, you acknowledge that you will report something if it happens to you, and you acknowledge that you can get kicked out without a refund if you are found to be violating someone's consent. At some of our parties, we actually have additional staff that are brought on to be consent monitors, to walk around the room. They wear light-up headpieces, and if someone is having a problem, they can speak to them. If they see something going down between two people that looks shady, they can step in. They're trained in bystander intervention, they're trained in de-escalation techniques, and they're kind of an extension of our security team. So we're pretty obsessed with consent.
And how much of this is new since the beginning of the Me Too era, and how much was going on for years before it at your place?
I think that the Me Too era allowed this message to be essentially more popular. It stopped being just about House of Yes. I mean, we are largely a woman-run establishment. As an owner, I wear similar clothing that some of our go-go dancers wear on a nightly basis. So for us, it was very, very obvious how rampant the issue was. And since we opened, we've been actively trying to pursue different ways to mitigate this kind of behavior. But I think with the Me Too movement, everyone's more receptive to it. They're more interested in it. And, you know, here we are on your show. Spreading the word.
Here you are.
I don't think that would have happened a couple years ago.
Yeah, now it's a thing. So, Councilmember, you're also introducing legislation, I see, that would demand that employees, from bartenders to security guards at such venues, receive bystander intervention training to help prevent assault or harassment. How would that work?
Well, the idea is any new employee that comes in has to be trained and know what to look out for and understand how to de-escalate certain situations. And also, on a yearly basis, you know, the staff would be retrained and retaught maybe possibly new techniques that happened. So the idea is that when you go out, whether, you know, if you're a female, you can go out alone and confidently knowing that people are watching and that you'll be safe at the end of the night.
Eli and Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eli.
Hey, what's up? Definitely not first time listener or caller. But someone that goes to the House of Yes, especially as a white male, I realize like oftentimes the people who consent issues are involved with are people that look like me. So I think the consent policy is a really good affirmation of like what it means to be a good community member and like also like being respectful of other people. I've had issues at House of Yes where like my friends, I don't want to say creeped on, but like they clearly looked uncomfortable. And I think I talked to a staff member named Benjamin like last week about it. He was super helpful. So it just like makes it feel like a very inclusive environment. It's like a really awesome place to go.
Wow, thank you so much.
Wow, thank you.
Customer testimonial, tele-help. Amanda in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. I just wanted to speak to the other side of things from the, I guess, the on staff, on the floor position of, I've worked in bars and restaurants in the city for over a decade. And I remember a popular beer garden in Williamsburg about 7 years ago. I went for an interview and the manager who was interviewing me just kind of like very bluntly asked if I was comfortable and prepared to be grabbed at and lurched at. During my shifts on the floor, and that was something that happened a lot, and is that something I could handle? And it wasn't, and I didn't end up working there. So just from the protection of the staff and the female wait staff side, I think it's great.
So if I understood your story correctly, this is exactly the opposite of what we're hearing happens at House of Yes. You were basically being asked on a job interview to be prepared to be what the previous caller called creeped on.
Yes. And it was something that management was aware of. And instead of taking action like House of Yes is doing, or like, you know, a lot of people it's coming to light now that people need to be protected and need to be in a safe environment. This is just the opposite of that. And this was about 6 or 7 years ago. But I was being told by management that this was something that I would need to be comfortable with happening to me, or I wouldn't be able to work there.
Amanda, thank you so much for your disturbing call. Councilman, that helps us report the story in a meaningful way. It goes that far, even in job interviews.
Definitely, definitely. And I think that's why it's important we continue looking at sexual harassment policy from the top down and the bottom up. I think everyone should be aware that harassment is not okay. We shouldn't have to expect to be harassed when we go out. But I also want to mention that this is not only about nightlife. This is about spreading message on a grassroots level across the entire city that harassment is not okay and consent is an absolute must. And there's no better place to do that than in a nightlife establishment.
So, Jackie, House of Yes is getting some good publicity, obviously, for being in the forefront here. But how much of a minority of nightlife venues do you think you're in, as opposed to, and the caller acknowledges that story was 6 or 7 years ago, but really that's not that much. So how much do you think the kinds of best practices of being obsessed with consent, as you call it, are taking hold industry-wide in the city, and how much is it just a few places, including yours, that are out there in the vanguard?
It does right now feel like it's a few places. Most of them are in Brooklyn. We are in direct communication with most of them, and we share ideas and information. We would love it to take hold in more nightlife venues, and that's kind of why the bill is being proposed. But I would love to offer that if there are other venues out there that want to learn from us, please reach out. We've had 3 years now of creating this program and learning about it and learning what's best, and we're so happy to share what we've learned with everybody else.
And it's open source at houseofyes.org.
/consent.
houseofyes.org/consent. And it seems like the city could learn, Councilmember, from other cities, because your legislation proposal notes that there's a similar program called Safe Bars in Washington, D.C., that has already been implemented. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, Safe Bars is a voluntary program, but the folks behind it actually put the effort into reaching out to clubs across D.C. so that they can voluntarily opt in and be part of the conversation. There are some similar groups here in New York City that do this work, and they've been partnering with groups like the New York City Hospitality Alliance, and they're making sure that they're playing their part as well. So that's very encouraging. I think what my bill does is, you know, takes the conversation to the next level and makes sure that everyone's part of the conversation.
Gabby in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gabby.
Hi. I was a cocktail waitress in college about 10 years ago, and we had a really big like event throughout the year, and at one of these events, I got pinned up against the wall by a customer, and if it wasn't for the bouncer who happened to see me, they very well could have been, like, I definitely felt like I was in a situation I was being assaulted, my boss was very, very supportive and, like, didn't put me on an event like that again, but it didn't make anybody else and the other girls safe either because they had to work in my place. I think, like, not just New York, but all across the country, we really could use programs like this.
Having had that experience and having worked in the business, is there anything else that comes to mind that might, in addition to what we've talked about already, be added as a best practice?
I think that having I think part of the consent conversation should not just be how do we prevent that, it's how to deal with it when it's happening. And one of the parts of our campaign is about encouraging people to have a script and a prepared statement, so when you are in an uncomfortable situation, that's not the first time you're thinking about what you're going to say and how you're going to react to it. So I think that's very, very important to note.
Gabby, did you want to add anything, or are you done?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. And Jackie, I think to what Anya just said, on your website, I see you suggest coming up with a script in case of harassment or assault before you even get to the venue. I guess that's a suggestion for customers.
Mm-hmm.
Now is the best time, it says, not when you're being creeped on as your LSD is kicking in. So to do what, for example? Come with what?
So an example of something that I like to say when someone is approaching me and dancing too closely, not getting my consent, and trying to rub up on me, and I say, hey, I really want to dance alone right now, thank you. And just having that actually in your head before you go out so that you're not on the spot and you're nervous and you freak out and you don't know what to do. Just helpful.
And you freeze or you become aggressive, right. And it's best to just be very neutral, very clear.
Yeah. And council member, your proposal would also require sufficient video surveillance equipment be in place in nightlife spaces to be sure that any potential incidents have a record. Do you think that is not the case in a lot of places? We think of video surveillance as ubiquitous these days. You think not enough in the nightlife industry?
Well, I think that the bill doesn't note that already exists in the law. I don't believe that's something new. A lot of the nightclubs are already required to have video surveillance for other issues and reasons. It was also part of the cabaret law that requirement was already there. So that already exists. This is just to ensure that clubs are more aware that these cameras are important for reasons around sexual harassment as well.
It's been about a year since the city created the Office of Nightlife, spearheaded by you. I've heard criticism from time to time that it's been too supportive of the nightlife industry when neighbors thought it was going to be more supportive of noise standards. Where is it at in your view?
I think people should be patient. The office just opened just a few months ago. Yes, the overall goal is to make sure nightlife continues to thrive in New York City. This is the city never sleeps. People want to live here, move here, visit here because of how great our nightlife is. But we have to remember, nightlife cannot exist if neighbors aren't happy, if neighbors aren't calling 311, if neighbors are calling 911 and making complaints. So we have to create this harmonious relationship between the two. And the Office of Nightlife is working very diligently to make sure that happens at the end of the day.
And I'll give you a free political promo here before we run out of time, because I see that now that Letitia James has been elected New York State Attorney General and therefore her position of New York City public advocate is open. There's a whole bunch of people getting ready to throw their hats into the ring for a special election in February, and you're one of them.
Yes, I am. I'm very excited. I think that we need a voice that's going to lead and put a vision for the future of our city.
Which is what? What can public advocate be? A lot of people think of that as a job that has an interesting title and your name gets known but doesn't actually do much. It's not very empowered by the law to do much.
I think that we need a voice, independent voice from the city and the council that's going to step in when the voice of the people is not being brought into the process. For example, this huge Amazon deal, there's a lot of frustration, there's a lot of anxiety, and you know the city feels that their voice has not been part of the process. So we need to make sure that position continues to exist because you know when there are times where government is not acting in favor of the people of the city, we need someone who's going to be able to push and make sure the voice is being heard throughout the process.
We spend almost a half hour earlier in the show talking to the mayor about the Amazon deal. Is your position that it's not worth the 25,000 jobs because there are too many negatives that outweigh it, or that it could be regulated better? What is your position on Amazon?
A few months ago, so about a year ago, there was a letter that was circulated trying to woo Amazon to come to the city of New York. I'm one of the few elected officials that did not sign on. I did that consciously. I think that the city already is overburdened with development. It's overburdened with the fact that our infrastructure is crumbling. And the last thing that we should be doing is investing $3 billion to ask a corporation to move into the city of New York. We should be investing that in improving communities. And to put the $3 billion in perspective, just a few years ago, I passed one of the most comprehensive rezoning plans in East New York. And with over $250 million, we were able to rebuild a community that's been disinvested in for decades. So $3 billion goes a long way, and we should not be giving it to corporations.
Advocates would say the real problem in America is all these cities where old manufacturing has left, and those are becoming destitute places. We want to be the place where the industries of today and tomorrow are making their hubs, and so we want to be one of the biggest tech cities in America and have these, you know, many, many, many thousand jobs, Amazon and Google and others. It's a matter of how. It shouldn't be a matter of if. Do you really want one of the biggest industries in America to say, no, we're not going to make New York a centerpiece?
New York City is New York City because of its vibrancy, its diversity, because of the fact that if you live here and you move here, you can, you know, create your own path and live in the American dream. I think New York City has a lot of great young people who are starting their own businesses that could use the extra support. We have a lot of our storefronts, of our restaurants that are suffering right now because they can't afford to be in the city. So we should be spending that money to support those that want to make it here.
And $3 billion in tax subsidies, yes. But the mayor says much more than $3 billion as a net plus when they and all their workers pay all their taxes.
In over 25 years, I mean, anything could happen within the next 10 years. The economy can change. Who knows, right? So we have to be very careful in trying to project the positives of this deal without knowing how exactly our economy is going to play out.
All right. City Council Member Rafael Espinal from East New York and thereabouts in Brooklyn, and co-founder of House of Yes, Anya Sapoznikova, and Jackie Rabkin, the bar's marketing director. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.